Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 238.
238. You is late. You is almost late, Pierre, because this is the second country you've been in today.
It's true. This morning I was in Dublin, capital of the ancient Celtic nation of Ireland. It was my Dublin tour show dates last night. I did two little shows in Whelan's, which is a very nice venue, in a pub. Excuse me. Oh, God. I did them in Whelan's last night. Thank you and Koji to the Bud Pods, the Pod Buds who came. They were a bunch and they were very delightful and nice people. I had a chat to some of them afterwards. And one person, Phil, they didn't come only for this, but one of them came. Some of them came from Cork. Some of them came from Belfast. But some of them, Phil, a lady came from Kansas, is what I'm saying.
Kansas?
Kansas, USA.
To Ireland?
Mm.
To see you?
Well, like I said, not just to see me.
Oh, okay, for you.
To see Ireland, but she did move her trip around to accommodate the tour date when it was announced. So
that's wow, cool. That's pressure.
The bar has been raised. Oh, yeah, I was very glad I didn't know any of this from any of these people before I went on.
That's incredible. Yeah, you don't know that.
There's only a few tour dates left, and I cannot emphasize enough how much there are still tickets for sale for the Leicester Square Theatre in exactly 30 days, I think. 23rd of November is what I'm saying.
30 days, get there. I've still not seen the show. I feel like a loser. I feel like a fool.
I think you've seen this one.
Oh, this is the last one.
I'm touring the old one, baby.
Oh, yeah, okay. I have seen this one. This one's excellent. This one's good. I'm not a fool.
How are
you? Wait, so is this the one you're doing in Leicester Square next month?
Yeah. Old baby.
Okay.
Old boy.
Yeah, okay, nice. Old baby.
The old baby.
It's the old baby.
The new one will
What's old and young at the same time? An old baby.
The new one will have to be toured around like a prize bull next year sometime. But yes, only a few hours ago, I was in Dublin Airport eating a terrible breakfast.
Yeah, you're not a fan of Dublin Airport, it sounds like.
No, it holds so much promise. It holds so much promise, but it's inconsistent. Sometimes it is the busiest airport I've ever gone through. Like the last time I went through, you know, sometimes where like it goes, oh, you make sure you arrive 7 hours before your flight, and you think, fuck off, you're just going to make me sit in a chair, and then go through a checkpoint, and then sit in a new chair in a smaller room, and then go through a checkpoint again. I'm not falling for this. I'll arrive not like an hour before. It's a domestic.
Precisely when I mean to.
Yeah. And then I tried that and I nearly missed my flight because it was so busy in Dublin. So this time, I thought, okay, fair enough. You've proven yourself to me. And I got there so early and I bought Fast Track, Phil, for 10 euros.
Mm. Yeah.
And my flight was so early this morning that Fast Track wasn't open.
Oh no, Pierre.
And am I the kind of guy, Phil, who's willing to email Ryanair with a photo of the shuttered Fast Track lane? It's like a big like metal grate down over it. It's very unambiguous. And say, why would you sell me this when you know the flight is too early for this to be open?
Oh my God. What a bunch of crooks. Crooks!
And I tell you this knowing that it's going to activate all of your wasted small amount of money zones.
Horrible.
€10. It was for something nice.
It was just a nice thing. It's unjust. And they know you can't be bothered to chase that up. They know you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they've calculated what is the most we can charge someone for them not to be bothered to chase it up. For nothing, essentially nothing.
Yeah, what's the most amount of money we can teleport out of someone's life for them not to somehow stop us?
So what time was your flight?
It was 6:10. 6:10
No!
AM. Yeah, so I got to the airport at 4:10.
Oh, no.
4:10, baby.
I want to die for you. I want to die in your name.
You want to die for my sins of being so tired.
So you've had 2 hours sleep.
2 hours sleep and like... well, I guess if you add up all the weird little bits of like... exhausted
like nodding off in the queue.
Yeah, nodding off in the queue, having a little sleep as I go through the x-ray machine. just a little snooze there. That thing where you sleep on the plane, but you get woken up by the weight of your own head going forwards or backwards. Or your head, like I'm too tall for the headrest, so when my head goes backwards, it goes all the way back, like I'm having my neck snapped by Jason Bourne. Just like, like that. So a lot of that kind of sleeping in quotes, and then asleep on the train from Gatwick for like half an hour, and then, you know, bullshit sleep. And I got home, and my boiler's broken.
Oh, why?
I know.
Yeah, no.
I know. It is...
So you haven't had the shower? Or like you had a cold shower?
I had a hot shower at my Easy Hotel. Are the rooms orange? You bet your sweet bippy they are orange.
You had a shower this morning before you got on the plane?
Yeah, in my Dublin hotel.
That's admirable. I would have not had the shower in the morning and planned to get have a shower when I got back so I could get 10 minutes more sleep.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I see. Yeah, it's two different budgeting approaches, but I think...
But in the end, good thing you did because you had no hot water waiting for you.
Yeah, I had that thing where you turn the boiler hot water on and it goes... And it doesn't actually go on.
And you hate this.
Okay.
If I weren't so tired from the gym that I was really already very tired in, I'd flip this table over. I'm too tired, so... Yeah, live to see another day, table.
I was wandering through Dublin Airport, and you know when you... It's like a kind of... what would you call it? Like... It's a breakfast. There's a hot breakfast you can buy, but you have a little tray and a sort of dinner lady gives it to you.
What?
Like you don't order it. It's not a restaurant.
Okay.
Cafeteria style?
Cafeteria. Canteen.
Canteen style. Sure.
Ah.
So there was some place called, whatever, Mildred's Breakfasts that had some canteen thing set up. And this Irish dinner lady was handing out breakfasts with the little tongs, you know.
Mm,
she would tong you up your items. And you know when you see a tray of bacon and it's like the bacon around the edges is the crispiest brown and crimson. It's like bacon from a Pixar movie. It's so perfect. And then in the middle it's wet and pink and sweaty.
Yeah.
Like an old man's thighs.
Yeah, it's like still raw.
Yeah, it looks kind of raw. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fat isn't rendered at all.
No. No.
It's just still clear. Yeah, just raw. The fat's still raw. It's still white and translucent.
Pink.
Yeah, horrible.
Wet bacon.
Yeah. It's buffet bacon.
It's buffet bacon. It's BB. When I said...
I've seen a lot of buffet bacon on tour. There's been a lot of buffet bacon.
Yeah, man. This is the thing. People don't understand...
That's true!
It's probably the biggest sacrifice.
Sorry, I'm allergic to even the thought of buffet bacon.
People don't understand. It's probably the biggest sacrifice a comedian makes in his career is the admitting that for the rest of his life, there'll be a hell of a lot more buffet bacon. and when I asked for two pieces of bacon, I thought her tongs wandered seductively over the crispy bacon before inevitably plunging into the wet pink mass in the middle. And almost perfectly finding me the pinkest, wettest, slightly grey sheets of floppy wet bacon.
Well, a quality I've learned from my father, and this is Chinese-ness, this is from going to food markets and what is, if in that situation, he'll smile and he'll point on the plexiglass at a nice piece of bacon and he'll go, that one? That one?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you can, and it's from like picking out the fish you wanted from the fish tank at like seafood restaurants in Malaysia.
Ah.
And so if I see a piece I like, I'll go, that one? That one? That one?
I don't know if I'd be allowed to do that.
Well, because then if they say no, it's like, well, why not? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to lie to people? Are you putting a ring of lie bacon on the edge to entice people to the floppy bacon?
Yeah, it's like a greengrocer putting the best apples at the front kind of thing.
Yes, it's like the supermarket sandwiches where the filling is all at the rim.
Yes, well, that's one of my routines, Phil.
Yeah. That's where it's from.
When they've smushed it all over the edge, and then inside is a desert of bread. Yes.
Okay, so you got floppy bacon. You got...
I got two floppy bacon flaps.
Yep.
I got a hash brown, and I got one of those... It's legally a fried egg, but not in the eyes of God.
Brian, is it the yolk is completely hard in the middle?
Almost completely hard in the middle, and it's like a hockey puck shape. It's like they've...
Yes, yes, yes.
You know the guys I mean.
Perfectly round.
Yeah, got some sort of egg mold.
Yeah, it's like if an egg got a boob job. You'd be like, this is too round.
Yeah, you go, I can tell that this isn't a natural egg. You're trying to enhance this egg. No egg has got a perfect circumference like this. Yeah, exactly. And then by the time you get them in this buffet system, it's just all cold and like wet, and you have this
horrible
like, cold, wet breakfast. And
it's a salmonella special. It's one of those breakfasts where you eat and you just go, I'm going to get some kind of wasting disease from this.
Yeah. I'm going to get something. Something's going to go wrong with me from this.
I'm going to eat this, and then everything I've ever ate in my life is going to come pouring out of me.
And as I walked with my tray of cold, wet, sad, I walked afterwards through to the till to pay, and I walked past the hot, steamy omelette station.
No!
There was an omelette van, shack.
The whole time?
Yep.
It was there the whole time?
But it's after all the other types of breakfast, so it's like the final...
You can't put it back.
Hurdle.
You can't put your silicon eggs back.
I can't walk over to the omelette station and say, could you cook this cold, wet, sad breakfast into an omelette for me, please?
Oh, no.
Because I would much prefer that. They wouldn't do that, would they?
So you had a cold plate of sad. No beans?
No.
Did they have beans?
Oh, they had them.
Oh, yum, yum, yum.
No, no, no.
I've been having beans on tour without you, without guilt, without being guilt-tripped over my beans. It's been great.
Your disgusting foods. Are they always
yum, yum, yum.
No. Are they always the same in every hotel?
Exactly the same. They taste exactly the same. They look exactly the same. The texture is exactly the same. You can count on them every time to be the same. I swear they're the same beans each time, like individual same beans. They just reappear. They're recast in the same roles every time. Like, hello again, Phil.
Like a time loop.
It's just such a nice accompaniment to the salty bacon to have that sweet mushy bean.
Wrong.
It's true. It's true.
Everything you're saying that's good is a role that could be fulfilled by ketchup.
No, but then you can have ketchup and the beans, and then the beans mixes up a little bit with the ketchup, and you have two different textures and intensity of tomato sauce, Pierre, rubbing together.
No.
Two different shades of red.
No.
Like, mingling with each other.
That's what the fried tomato is for.
But you can have fried tomato, ketchup, and baked beans.
There is no
then
such thing.
Then you have three tomatoes.
There is no such thing as a breakfast vegetable.
Interesting. This is a good point. Mushroom, I would wage. I would say mushroom.
I'd say that's a fungi. It's on its own.
It's still a vegetable.
I don't know if it is. It's a fun. It's on its own. Mushrooms. They're weird.
Dear Mr. Internet, are mushrooms vegetables? P.S. says that they are not. Are mushrooms vegetables? Although considered a vegetable, mushrooms are neither a plant nor animal. Oh, yeah.
They're all fucked up and creepy and not like of this earth.
Mushrooms are classified as vegetables, so I am also right.
They're considered. You're culturally right, but not scientifically right.
But there's no scientific definition of a vegetable.
Yeah, that's a category, isn't it?
It's like a fish.
Yes, that's true, isn't it?
I hate to get all QI here, but...
Yeah, not to become a little elf.
I didn't say that mushrooms are a plant. I said they are a vegetable.
Ah.
And a vegetable is an idea. You can't kill an idea. They can kill us, but they can't kill an idea. The idea that mushrooms are veggies.
A vegetable is an idea. It's a very funny, like, TED Talk opening sentence.
TED Talks are so annoying.
They were such a thing for a while. What are they still a big?
No, I think they've started to parody themselves.
Because
I don't know how many TikToks there are then. Including TEDx.
They changed it now to TEDx. Because have a look, because eventually you run out of people, right? You just run out of Bill Gates.
Oh my god. Okay. Whew. Since the program launched in 2009, how many talks do you think have been given at TED Talks? This is including TEDx, this is including all the talks. How many talks do you think? Since 2009.
Okay, so if it's including TEDx, it's going to be a lot, because that's like a lot easier to get a TEDx online than a proper official TED Talk. Since 2009, what is that? That's 14 years ago. I'm gonna say 9,000.
Close to 50,000 talks have been given at 10,000 events since the program launched in 2009.
Shut up, Ted.
The one on the website available are 3,500 available on the website. Ugh. Oh my god, how many new ways of looking at the world can there be? There can't be 50,000. There can't be 50,000 ways to hack your breakfast or whatever.
There can't be 50,000 ways to revolutionize commuting.
50,000, come on. It got silly towards the end. Like you say, every I think Andy Warhol said in the future, everyone will have done 15 minutes of a TED Talk.
Yeah. But you run out. You start big. You start off with a dying Steve Jobs kind of talking about how he had the vision to, you know. And then, 10, 15 years later, it's this like minor Bulgarian social scientist explaining how swimming with dolphins actually makes it worse. Or what, you know, just, you know, wow, this is too niche. It's not interesting. What's the most recent? Can you see any really dog shit ones? Also, here's a question, Phil. Is anyone going back and fact-checking the old ones that are out of date?
Oh, yeah, surely at this point we have TED Talks that contradict each other.
Yeah, surely there are TED Talks from 2009 where it's like, fiber internet isn't possible and gay marriage will destroy the moon. You know, like, really out of date stuff.
Okay, now some of these looks decent. Let's reframe cancel culture. I'm going to watch that. Support people at work, focus on needs, not identity. That sounds good. How interesting, though. This is very much a response to, I would say, the mid-teens of TED Talks.
Yeah.
What's a funny one? The tech we need to fight workplace ageism. The tech we need to fight workplace ageism.
Okay.
Old robots. Old robots.
Old robots made of Bakelite. They don't have a keypad, they've got a little spinny dial. Old robots, they use words you can't use anymore. They say slurs. To make you feel more comfortable.
Okay, here we go. Here's a TEDx. Here's a classic. Here's a TEDx talk title for the ages. Why I Gave My Teenage Daughter a Vibrator.
Oh,
yes, this is what we're here for.
Who's it by?
A lady called Robin Buckley.
Well, it's very much that Who was that lady who was foreign secretary who kept doing tweets to her daughter about her fucking sex life?
Amber Rudd?
Yeah.
Yeah, Amber Rudd and her daughter did a podcast, didn't they?
Yeah, but they kept doing tweets where, like, her daughter would tweet something, like, explicitly sexual or to do with getting ridden by someone. And she'd, like, her own mother, the former Home Secretary, and not a good Home Secretary, in my opinion, like a nasty one, would, like, quote tweet it and be like, gosh, not exactly Sunday dinner conversation. Oh.
Gross.
It's grosser to acknowledge this.
I hate it. This is one thing that me and my sisters just really could not abide by when we moved to the UK was the number of like English families or British families who speak openly about sex or like in a kind of about their children. I'm like, yuck, horrible, yuck. Have some respect for yourselves and each other.
This is part of your nihilistic orcishness that you hate.
Yeah, British sex is a nihilistic orcishness. It's orcish nihilism. It's orc nihilism.
This is your TED talk.
British sex is orc nihilism. That's my TED talk.
The idea that like... I remember seeing someone do a stand-up routine ages ago.
I open Pierre's just me on stage and everyone's like hushed quiet and I've got a Britney mic on and I look around and I just go, shag. Boff. Snog. Are these words that sound nice to you?
But it's filmed in the UK, so it's a really a confrontational, like it's really accusatory.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit everyone, like Salem
everyone
Witch
in the audience
trial.
Has to be held back. They're trying to get at me. They're trying to beat me up.
Yeah, because they're
you're
not
disgusting.
Because they're not mic'd up. You can't hear what they're shouting, but you can see from their face that they're shouting. As they're getting led out, they're going. They're like really like their teeth are off bad, you know. And you're just there on stage going, "Yes, well, yes, well."
Get him out! Get him out! I have the TED talk with the most people removed. Take him out of here. Lock the doors. Lock the doors and take him out somehow.
Yeah, take him out, then lock the doors behind you. Everyone else, you have to stay and listen to this. You need to hear this. You can't make jokey references to your own son getting noshed off. It's horrible. And stop saying noshed.
Noshed off. That's another one that's going on the list. And I just add it in. I just point backwards to projection and noshed. It just gets added to a list on the back.
It the letters all land one by one really rapidly with a really heavy sound.
Yeah.
N-O-S-H.
Nosh. Why are TED Talks so annoying? Why do you think they're so annoying?
I think they come with that sort of tone of like... It's smug. The tone is always annoying, but the tone is more annoying because you know that they're not just going to tell you why you're wrong. They're going to gradually, seductively reveal your idiocy to you over 20 minutes
to
an hour. So they're not just going to go, oh, it's actually less efficient to use the escalator like that. And you go, oh, okay. They're going to go, standing on the right of the escalator is one of London's most vaunted folk traditions, but is it the best way? Way of anything. Just say the conclusion.
It's opening it with a sort of a challenge to the audience, like going, I'm ugly, wouldn't you say? Sir, wouldn't you say I'm ugly? And then I take my glasses off and then I'm actually very beautiful. And everyone goes, oh, yeah. Well, what do you say about this? Maybe ugly things are actually beautiful if you take off the glasses on the thing.
Off their face.
Off the face.
And everyone, because there's that scattered applause and you're nodding. During the scattered applause, clack, 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 clack.
And then like, I wheel on the Michelangelo's David, but he's wearing glasses. And then I say, ugly, isn't it? And everyone's like, yeah, it is ugly. And then I climb up and I pull off the glasses. And everyone goes, oh, this is ugly.
But when you climb up, it takes you so long.
Yeah, and the edit, they haven't cut it out. They haven't cut it out in the edit.
You keep slipping down. And the because the mics are right on your face, it's picking up all the like, oh, fucking hell. Shit. Yeah. And then eventually someone has to come out with one of those long poles they use to open windows that are high up, and you have to knock the glasses off David's face. Ugly, isn't it? You get really frustrated. Now it's nice, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's what it is. It's Long Smugness, who was a great jazz musician. Long Smugness.
Long Smugness. Yeah, you're lucky if you got to see Long Smugness play.
Because it's a bit like if you know you shat yourself and someone going, huh, I see that your trousers are full of shit. But are they supposed to be? Is this a good way for trousers to smell? And you're like, no, I know I've shit myself. Like, I don't, you know.
If you had to give a TED Talk tomorrow, yeah, and it was going online, it's one of the filmed ones, what's it going to be about?
Well, and it's like supposed to be proper or like a stupid one.
Whatever you... Yeah, okay, proper.
Proper. I've tried to get this onto Radio 4 a few times. I really want to do a thing about how being Scottish doesn't exist. And I have good reasons to say that, kind of.
This podcast is antagonistic to at least half of Scotland enough as it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My gran was Scottish, but she was Orcadian, so she was more Norwegian flavored Scottish, right? Like Orkney Islands. So basically, the reason I say that is because the original inhabitants of Scotland, the Picts, were Brittonic, so they were related to the Welsh, right?
Mm.
The entire island of Great Britain was Brittonic.
Okay.
Then, enough essentially sort of proto-Gaelic speakers or Gaelic speakers came over from Ireland that the left-hand side of Scotland became Gaelic speaking. That's the Highlands and Islands.
Oh.
So that sort of slightly sort of upper left-hand side, that's Gaelic speaking. Where Glasgow is, all the way down to Cumbria, that was the kingdom of Strathclyde, that spoke a kind of Welsh. On the right-hand side, all the way up to even just past Edinburgh, that was Anglo-Saxon, so they spoke a Germanic dialect, which is the ancestor of Scots, like Robert Burns. And then above them was a big, crazy mixture of Picts getting wiped out by Vikings and Norse in the Shetlands and the Orkneys. And so it's all this big, crazy mixture.
Mm.
But unless you're claiming that you're Scottish because you're kind of Welsh, e.g. a Pict... Well, then, you know, like, and Robert Burns speaks Scots, but Scots is a Germanic language. It's not Celtic.
Right. Okay.
You but see what
by
I mean?
The same... Yeah, but couldn't you equally say there's no such thing as English people?
Yeah, yeah, and that would be episode 2 of The Smugness.
Oh, right.
But, like, that's been done, because everyone goes and they go, oh, well, the Normans and the Huguenots and the blah, blah, blah. Like, that's been done to death, whereas I don't think anyone's quite revealed thoroughly enough to Scotland that it is... And you can make it a positive thing. You could be like, oh, it's the original multicultural blah, blah, blah. But it is... It is why it kind of weirds me out when I'm somewhere like in Edinburgh and they've got like a street sign with Gaelic on it.
Right.
They never spoke Gaelic in that part of the country in history.
I see.
It's as weird as if there was a sign in Scots Gaelic in York. Or like Newcastle or Berwick or somewhere. Like, it's like, yeah, it's nearby, but that's not where that's from. It's a very nice gesture. And I'm sure the people who speak Gaelic who come to visit Edinburgh appreciate it, and that's very nice. But don't pretend it's the origin of the place. It's not.
Well, I mean, Glasgow considers Edinburgh England anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of the time. So are the Welsh then the only really strictly contiguous group of people in the UK?
Yes, basically.
Yeah.
Basically.
They're the indigenous people of the UK, which is why I find it so funny when people who've adopted American progressive language talk about BIPOC people in the UK.
BIPOC, yeah.
The I of which stands for indigenous and can only refer to the Welsh.
The I stands for the Welsh.
Okay, we should get to some correspondence.
Yes.
My TED Talk will be about how we have to do some correspondence right now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Correspondence. Every episode, we don't do enough correspondence.
Yeah.
We chat and chat and talk shit until we realize there's not enough time and we squeeze in a tiny bit. Well, this has to stop. Welcome to my TED Talk.
It's good. It's true.
Imagine if you got a response like that for a show. Every time you did a joke, you just got a...
What, of applause? Or just that sound?
Yeah, applause.
I would feel... I would feel like I wasn't quite doing my job as a comedian.
But people are clearly appreciating it.
Yeah, they obviously think I'm saying something important, but I would worry... that I wasn't expecting that. I'd be like, uh-oh, have I said something important by mistake?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I had that a bit in Sweden. I was performing in Sweden. They just like...
Really?
No, they did laugh too. They laughed. But they like to clap.
They did a little efficient Swedish laugh. yeah, they're just... Oh, well, there you go. We have heard from Flora, who is Scottish.
Flora, don't ignore her.
Don't ignore her, Flora. Yes, the thing that I figured out, the reason I initially knew about the whole Scots being a Germanic thing was because, you know how, like, they refer to the church in Scotland as the Kirk?
Oh, yeah. Dunkirk and that sort of thing is...
Yeah. Well, Kirk is church in Afrikaans.
Ah.
So when we moved here, my parents were like, wait, we thought Scotland was Celtic. Why do they use the Afrikaans word for church? What the fuck is happening here? It's because it's Germanic. It's Scots. It's an offshoot. It's an offshoot like English. From
Wait, is the Kirk and Dunkirk... Oh, yeah. So the name Dunkirk derives from West Flemish, where yes. Kirk is also church.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Germanic, oh. Baby. Mm. Flora says... The subject line is Tat Shack found by a visiting Scot in London's many markets and some first impressions, which I like.
Tat Shack all on the floor.
I like that because the subject line of that email is like the description of an educational pamphlet from 1704.
Yeah.
Tat Shack found by a visiting Scot in London's many markets and some first impressions. Published in the year of our Lord, 1702.
It's like it's also like an old scientific paper, you know, yeah. Observations on the durability of iron alloys.
Yeah, thoughts upon the most mysterious circulations of the planet known as Mercury, spelled with an E at the end of Mercury. Anyway,
yeah, it's an I. Mercury. Yeah,
Mercury. So Flora says hello, Hleipgna and Reip Eilevon. That's our names backwards.
Oh.
So Phil Wang backwards is Leip Gino.
Yep.
And I'm Eriep Eilevon.
Well, my name backwards is just Nor, as into Nor and something.
Yeah. Leip Gino. Lipnor. I'm not sure if the status as a founding farter pertains, since I found you around episode 25. Is that too late to be a founding farter? Too early to be a Pistorian? Who knows?
I think you are technically a Pistorian. I think even if you come in like episode two, you're a Pistorian.
Yeah, it's quite a harsh. Maybe there does need to be a gradation. But then where will it end?
Where will it end? But you're she's an early historian, like Bede.
Yeah.
She's there right near the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flora is like Bede. too early to be a Pistorian. Who knows? Even my recent philosophy degree from Edinburgh Uni has not equipped me to answer such questions.
Yes. Well, philosophy degree would only teach you that there might not be an answer.
Yeah. I'm emailing in some tat I found when visiting the Big Smoke to see the house DJ Fortet.
Oh, great. I love Fortet. He's
Do
very
you?
Good.
Is it yeah. good?
He's great.
Is he a good
I man? Think he's a physicist. I think he studied physics and became a house DJ.
Studied the physics of beats.
That's it. The physics of rhythm.
She went to go see him at Ali Pali. As a Glaswegian, I have always been wary of London and Londoners due to its loudness, largeness, and general smell of theatre kid.
Yeah, especially if you go to Ali Pali.
Yeah, if you're in Ali Pali, you're in theatre kid territory, Flora. There are plenty of places in London where the aroma will change from theatre kid to one of fear or poshness.
Oh, yeah. There are parts of the city that'll make you yearn for the smell of theatre kid.
Yeah. Or like eerie bits like Pimlico, where no one lives and there's just empty mansions owned by Qatar. However, during my quick four-day tour, I found that my prejudices were unfounded and everyone was actually pretty friendly and normal. Some other first impressions were, London has yassified the street market.
Right, okay. Yassified means sort of gentrified, basically?
Yeah, but in like a sort of beautiful glow-up sort of way.
Okay, yeah.
I think this is true purely because I've lived in London long enough now that I'm used to what Flora correctly describes as a yassified street market. And when I go to other British cities and I see their street markets, I remember how grim they normally are.
Yeah, they are grim. They are grim.
They'll just be like a waterproof tent stall where it's just a guy selling like unarranged pants.
Yeah, it's the unarranged nature of those markets that are really upsetting, or just like bundled cables.
Yeah.
Like empty CD cases and
it's people
pirated
selling,
things.
It looks like a market shortly after the Blitz.
Yeah. Some of them look like markets from Southeast Asia. There's like knockoff stuff.
Yeah.
Broom handles and like, what?
Whereas in London, it's so always, you know, like a kind of rare Mongolian
Jesus.
Delicacy.
Yes,
stall.
Momos.
Momos.
Momos are Nepalese.
London, so these are the first impressions. London has yassified the street market, I agree. There are so many smells, it's impossible to concentrate while walking around the centre.
The centre of London or the centre of the market?
It just says in the centre, I guess the centre of London. I hadn't thought of the smells. Maybe she's right. Sometimes
maybe our noses are so clogged up with smog at this point we can't smell anything.
Yeah, well, sometimes there's the roasting nuts. That's always a powerful smell.
Yeah.
And you get to watch them literally let pigeons land on the hot nuts and have to kind of scare them off.
No.
I've seen that all the time.
No.
Pigeons full on land and walk around the hot nuts. And the guy's like, sees the pigeon, but he's busy like getting more nuts out of a big bag. So he's just like, nah. And gives it a minute before shooing them.
Oh, well, that's me never buying hot nuts again.
Sorry to de-hot nut you.
Oh, man. Yeah. I love the hot nuts.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever got any.
No. I haven't seen any pigeons landing on the suspicious hot dog man one, but, you know. It's because they're in the hot dogs, isn't it, mate?
Grand Theft Auto 4 made me think I'd buy hot dogs on the street a lot more often than I do.
Yeah. You do feel like, when I move to the city, I'm going to always be asking for extra mustard on things. No, it's very rare.
I watched When Harry Met Sally recently, and he gets like a hot dog from a street stall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? People actually do that?
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Because you sort of go, I'm sure there are some that are like artisanal or very trustworthy, but do you know them? How do you get to know them? I don't know. So the smells, She adds also, Soho is weird for a reason I can't quite place.
Yeah, I know what she means. It doesn't feel quite real. It feels like the whole place feels like it's putting on a show of what it thinks you think Soho should be like.
I think Soho is weird these days as well because it is slightly more between two worlds than it has been before.
Well, because I guess it came up as an alternative red light district,
like mafia
gay district,
mafia owned strip clubs,
mm.
You know, brothels and nightclubs and dodgy stuff.
And then it became quite a mainstream entertainment and restaurant district quite quickly. And so it exists still between the two, you're right.
But now there's a third layer because, Phil, the other day in Soho, I saw a knockoff wizard shop.
A knockoff, like with a Harry Potter font?
Yeah, it was called, you know, Disfigured Magic Orphan or whatever. It wasn't... It didn't say Harry Potter. It said Disfigured Magic
Henry
Orphan.
Porter.
It said Enchanted Under the Stairs Boy. And it was selling, you know, like cocktails and sweets and like gribbledy grobbledies and had like all potion flasks in the window. And I thought, that's not good. That's not good for Soho. That's not good for the vibe.
Because it's getting a bit Leicester Square.
Yeah, exactly. Leicester Square is leaking.
Ugh, yuck. And Leicester Square is vile.
But I did think, like, parents are going to regret walking their kid to that shop to get a knockoff red and yellow coloured scarf with no mention of Gryffindor on. Because they're going to have to walk their kids past those shops where there's, like, a massive window display of, like, rubber pup costumes for, like, gay bondage sex and sort of dildo masks and gas masks,
right,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And the kids are going to be like, is that a magic shop?
I'd honestly be less embarrassed if my kid was walking around with a massive dildo than with knockoff Harry Potter gear. Fucking pig pimple scarf.
Your kid had at least had a Slytherin branded face dildo. rather than just a green and silver one. Yeah, I agree. And then final observation from Flora. And the people who bathe in the ponds in Hampstead Heath are truly baffling.
Oh, yeah. That's such a thing, going swimming in the ponds.
The pond bathing went viral on American Twitter for a bit because American Twitter didn't understand that it wasn't stagnant water in a Tennessee swamp.
It does look like it.
Kind of, but it's like it's quite clear looking. Like, it's not got like green scum on the top or anything.
How did the Americans find out about it?
Oh, eventually some, you know what happens. Enough British journalists talk about wild swimming and then one person at the New York Times misunderstands it and then it spreads to the rest of America.
Right.
And they were just going like, wow, these people are disgusting. Like, they must all stink. Like,
oh,
they were so wrong about what it was. It was irritating. But it was just another day on the hell site. Anyway,
I'm enjoying Flora's tour of London. This is like Orwellian. This is like Down and Out or something.
I do like it. So she says, anyway, here's a photo of what I found in one of the markets. I can't remember if it was Spitalfields or Camden or Borough or blah, blah, blah. But a tat shack materialized before me as I turned a corner, giving me a nasty surprise. Oh!
oh, God!
No, I was trying to do like a Scottish shock. Oh, no!
Oh, right.
Ah, oh, not tat. Oh!
Just Prosecco right in the face. Dum!
God! Oh, I wasn't expecting tat in the corner. Oh, no. The one that really stood out to me among the sheer quantity of cheaply made plastic signs designed to look like wood. Ugh.
Oh, wow. So it's not even wood.
You don't even deserve wood.
Ugh. Horrible.
The one that stood out is quote, we're in the garden drinking gin.
Wait, so is this sign... Okay, so this sign is meant to be indoors, I guess.
Yeah, so it's a sign. The top bit just says, we're in the garden. And then underneath, capitalized and in italics, drinking gin.
Just neat gin straight out the bottle.
That's why, like, from the garden, you can hear people going... God, Jesus. Like that.
Oh my God.
We're in the garden drinking gin. And she likes it because the fabricators obviously gave up even trying to be funny.
We're in the... this at the end of the day, they're really tired. They've been coming up with kooky tat phrases all day. We're in the garden. He just put, we're in the garden. We'll fix something else later. And then drinking gin. Just put on drinking gin. And we'll decide later what that means. And then they just went, you know what? Just put that out. Put that out. We're in the garden drinking gin.
People were like rubbing their eyes with their thumb and forefinger and going, we're watering the plants, but we're the plants and the water is gin or something. Or
the hose, our hose is full of Prosecco. Prosecco. I'm jealous of my
watering can
turnips because I water them.
And they're just going, we're in the garden drinking gin. Just put it in.
Yeah, we're in the garden and drinking gin. Okay.
So Floyd says, anyway, big thanks to you for getting me through some serious long-haul flights to Mexico last year to see family. 11 hours of flying time is a lot of poo stories.
It is a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot. Well done on getting through it.
Yeah, well, muchas gracias for listening on the way to Mexico. And felicidades on your philosophy degree. So she sent us a picture of this terrible tat stall. I'll just read you some because we're kind of out of time. And it would, these would be quite hard to guess.
Okay.
This is all, you know, when it's like loads of different bits of fake wood and loads of different fonts.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So I'm going to try and pronounce when the sign changes. Welcome to our comfortable, happy, sometimes loud, usually messy, full of love, home.
Ugh, comfortable, happy.
Ugh.
We're comfortable and happy.
We're comfortable and happy. Why? What have you heard?
Just sunk into a beanbag, smiling like a lunatic.
Comfortable and happy. This one's controversial. It's got a little clip art of a mustache on that says abolish shavery.
Oh, wow. That's pretty strong.
It's pretty spicy.
Abolish shavery. Oh, my goodness.
We're in the garden drinking gin.
Talking about how to abolish shavery.
This one's quite... Maybe you'll like this one. This one's maybe on the right side of funny. Remember to kiss the dog and feed the husband.
Oh, God. cutesy fucking... home counties fucking... Garden and front garden fucking... twee bastards.
This one is quite American, I think. Nobody texts faster than a pissed off female.
Oh, Jesus. Come on.
They've capitalized pissed and female for some reason.
A pissed off female.
I hate this online thing of everyone going on about males and females. It's creepy.
It's very weird.
You get these guys tweeting advice from their psychotic little accounts, being like, here's the thing about females. You go, sorry, are you an alien? Are you a scientist? Female? What are you talking about? It's such a grotesque... It's like if someone always goes on and on about their phallus, and it's like, oh, don't use that word.
You know the meme of Ralph Wiggum sitting on the bus saying, I'm in danger?
Yeah.
I saw one which was, when a man refers to me as a female,
I'm in danger. Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's a huge red flag. Oh, man.
Speaking of red flags, we have to wind this one down. We have to wave our red flag and say, no more! No more for this episode.
We have to salute our red flag and take it
down. We must go to the Patreon, the exclusive... there's definitely a location we mentioned earlier on that was good.
Well, the garden, I guess.
We're in the exclusive garden drinking gin. Remember to go see Pierre... on tour, see me on tour, and come to Bud Pod Live, the Christmas edition, December 15th.
Smelly Crapmas.
Until then, bye.
Bye.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.